adversaries. And the practical application to that in our lives would be the things that we do, are they for God or are they not? And that tends to be rather cut and dry or black and white or however you want to say that, but you know, if you're not moving forward, you're moving backward. And there's another old cliche, and the list goes on, but I think that's so true in our lives that we really need to examine what we do and ask ourselves, is this for God?
Very good. And you can see that was immediately Joshua, his bold question. You know, if I am standing there, it seems he's by himself. He's standing there by Jericho. Maybe he's kind of surveying the scene. Here comes a man with a sword drawn already. That takes some real courage to go and say, so whose side are you on? And it's good for us to have this question in our own hearts. Very good. Thank you for pointing that out. Are we going to be on the Lord's side or on the side of his adversaries? But then let's build on that. What is the answer in verse 14, and how does that tie in? Okay, I'll make it easier. What is the answer in verse 14? He says, right. So while we see the benefit, the value of the question in verse 13, kind of as a judgment against their own consciences even, when the Lord answers, when this one who stands with the sword drawn in his hand answers that question, he says, I'm not taking sides. I'm here to take charge. I'm the commander. Joshua was no doubt doing what his job was. He was taking his role, but now he meets the commander-in-chief. And then let's just elaborate, just to bring out what's in the rest of verse 14 and in verse 15.
What was his response in verse 14? He fell on his face to the mm-hmm. earth and worshipped.
Worshipped.
That, to me, I think a bit about Isaiah. And his mm-hmm. vision. Mm-hmm. Again, seeing the Lord in his glory, you see, you have to judge yourself. But in this case, he bows before him.
Excellent. What else? How about verse 15? What's the key thought there that we want to bring out related to our topic? We see what?
Bows in worship, then he says, I'm ready to take orders.
Good.
You know, and that's really true servant character, that I'm ready to take orders.
Yeah, he didn't debate whether, well, I thought I was the commander. Yeah, yeah. He takes his position right away. Very good. And what else can we see in this section? The rest of that verse or in verse 15?
Definitely the holiness is being seen in him telling him to take off shoe from off his foot, for the place where I now stand is holy, and the obedience.
Good.
Joshua.
Excellent. So let's now draw some principles out for ourselves. So we've seen that Joshua was prepared to do battle, right? It's very commendable in this. He was prepared to do battle. Are we, as God's people, even thinking about doing spiritual battle? We want to serve the Lord. We want to live for Him in a proper way in our daily lives. Doing battle now takes us out of our isolated circumstances. You know, we can live in a holy way just by ourselves. We can even serve the Lord in a holy way just by ourselves, depending on the service. But now spiritual battle, though a lot of it is self-preparation, that is personal and quiet and behind the scenes. Yet if we're going to engage in spiritual battle, it means that we're in this world, which is opposed to God, which is organized by the adversary, like Joshua says, and which will like to bring us down, take us down, take us out as soldiers for the Lord. So, one principle. Joshua was ready to do battle. What are some of the things he learned that we should learn now? Just take what we commented on, that some of them we've already made as principles for ourselves about obedience and about holiness. But what else can we just kind of make as a comment for ourselves if we want to have victory, what are some of the beginning steps that Joshua had to learn that we also should learn? From here or from other verses too?
That's interesting. This morning in the study, we had, I was thinking of Jehoshaphat, that they had to go to battle, but the first thing they did was they praised the Lord. And so Joshua here, as we said in response, before ever they go to battle, but he falls before the Lord in worship.
Very good.
That's the first object before him.
Absolutely. We should not lose sight of whom we're serving and his greatness. Yeah, we might think of this as a strange time to worship, right? Mm-hmm. Worship is for a time of peace, but worship is for a time of battle.
I was just noticing here, he lifted his eyes and looked. In a sense, for us, we need to look, look up.
Very good.
Rather than looking within or around. And when he looked up, he saw the Lord.
Very good. Maybe that's in contrast even to standing by Jericho, right? Just to looking at the battle, looking across the field maybe, or looking over to the city, but then lifting up his eyes. Very good. I'm sure that's used with purpose to teach us that. Okay, let's take a look now at the balance of what comes next about the actual instructions, because when the commander comes, he says to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, the place where you stand is holy. We have that parallel with Moses, right? Yesterday's topic, to hear from the Lord and to stand in his presence the way he should be. The way he should be addressing the Lord and the way he should be taking a position. Actually, that wasn't yesterday. That was a couple days ago. But the way he should be taking that position before the Lord. Now, what do we notice about the taking that position? Okay, so the atmosphere is an atmosphere of holiness. I've come as the commander, says the Lord. You're standing in my holy presence. Now I'm going to give you some instructions. So let's move on now to Joshua chapter 6. And in this portion of our time together, what I'd like to do is look a little bit here, but then look at some other scriptures as well in the New Testament, also in the Old Testament if we have time. I have some in mind, but I'd like to hear from you as well. To see what it is that the Lord gives as the instructions. Now, this is a very common story, right? We all have read this before. We probably have taught it as lessons maybe to Sunday school classes or at camp or whatever. But let's take a look at the next five verses it is. Jericho was securely shut up, it says. Let's see how they're going to accomplish victory when Jericho was very secure. How is the Lord going to give them instructions when Jericho is really ready for them? Jericho is not subject to being taken easily. Could somebody read those first five verses, please? Joshua 6, 1 through 5.
Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and its king and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And seven priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him.
Thank you. Okay, so again, sometimes our familiarity with a portion makes it hard for us to find things from it. But let's try to go bit by bit through some of these verses, and whether you see a general observation or whether something comes to you from a specific verse, take something out of these verses to explain how the Lord gives directions that support this idea of Joshua getting holy directions. How are these holy directions? How is he going to be responding to the Lord's holiness for this victory?